You're listening to the Nick Smith Podcast.
Real life, no myth.
Where we talk about myths and misunderstandings
surrounding life, race, faith, and culture.
If you'd like to support the Nick Smith Podcast, rate us on iTunes.
Or you can give through our Patreon.
And don't forget to share this on social media so that all of your friends can know what you're listening to.
We are your hosts, Nick Smith
and Kylie Jo Smith.
And today's episode is called You're Just the Pastor's Wife
and Other Lies We Believe.
And so what are we talking about today, Kylie Jo?
Well, we are talking about pastor's wives, but not behind their backs, not in that kind of a way.
I mean, technically you're in front of me, so I can't really talk behind
your
back.
So last week we talked about myths that we believe about pastors.
Mm-hmm.
And through that conversation and when we were kind of planning out maybe what this week would look like, we noticed that there are a lot of lies and myths that we believe about pastors' wives as well that also affect how we view pastors.
Yes, which also affects. See, there it goes. I always got to get that out of the way at the beginning. Like, let's get the word jumbling out there.
Good.
It also affects how we engage and how we look at the church. Some people look at the pastor's wife as the first lady, as the queen of the church, as the mother of the church. There's this elevated,
or the queen mother.
Or the queen. That's if you're the mom of the pastor's. Anyway, so there's this image, this elevated image, just like with the pastor, you've got this elevated image of the pastor's wife.
Mm-hmm.
And first off, let's give context. We are a specific set of couples. No, we are one couple. I'm the pastor, and therefore my wife is Kylie Jo.
Yes.
Some pastors are.
I'm glad you clarified that for everyone. I am your wife. Yes.
All right, let me try that again. what I'm saying is we know that some pastors are women.
Yes.
And their spouse, it's their husband.
Yes.
And so there are different issues that they deal with.
Yeah. So this is our real life. No
That's
myth.
Right.
We are hoping to reach people with our specific context, knowing that there are many things we experience and that we know that will also resonate with many of you. And so for those of you listening who are like, well, I'm not a pastor's wife, I'm a female pastor. Or if you're a male pastor, I don't have a wife.
Yeah.
Or a single female pastor. You can still listen to this and you can, I hope, still glean something from this, even though it's not your specific context. So just know we're not being weird or sexist with this. We are just speaking from our specific experience that we hope you value it. So
we wanted to get that out of the way. You said it a lot better than I did, just so you know.
I mean, I just took what you started and I just kind of rolled in there.
Unmeshed it.
As a helpmate.
You know, help me.
Help me.
Going to the scriptures on us. All right. Well, let's just jump into it. Let's talk about these. We narrowed it down to four lies, right?
Yes. Yeah. Well, before we do that, let's talk about, I want to tell a story.
Okay, go ahead.
So from my own experience with other pastors' wives, it's really interesting to me. And part of it probably is because of my age. I'm not really sure how older pastors' wives probably have experienced this, if at all. But when Nick was first called into ministry, we had other friends who were also getting called into ministry, and they had wives. And one of the things, we were at this worship retreat kind of thing up in Arapahoe, Nebraska. Shout out to Pastor Becky.
Hey, Pastor Becky.
And the church in Arapahoe. We were up there and there was like these different workshops we were doing.
Mm-hmm.
And all the pastor's wives were in one. And it was really funny. There was a comment made. I don't know who made it, but it was kind of like, well, I could not be a pastor's wife. I am not a pastor's wife. Like, it was very negative almost, like kind of like, oh no, that's not me. I couldn't fit into
that's
that.
That's interesting.
Yeah. And from there, I thought it was kind of isolated to that group.
Mm-hmm.
But the more women I've encountered over the years, our short years in ministry, it's really a common thing that women have this negative view of being a pastor's wife. And there's also those who are not pastor's wives who view it in a different light. And there's just so many things that have influenced that we could go on and on about. But that kind of sparked something when we were going over like, well, why this topic?
Yeah.
That conversation sticks out. And I think there's some value in diving into that some more. So,
well, one thing I think is interesting about that story is that you were sitting around with women who had a negative connotation about what a pastor's wife was supposed to be in the church.
Right.
That's just interesting that negativity comes from the women who are going to be pastor's wives.
Yes.
On the contrary, sitting around with pastors, a lot of times there's compassion for the role of pastor's wife because pastors know just how much it takes for a strong spouse to stand up and support their pastor, and mm-hmm. and how the pastor's spouse takes the brunt of a lot of stuff. Mm-hmm. And so pastors generally look at their spouse as just a blessing. It's never this negative, like, oh, I don't think my wife could live up to that. It's yeah. normally like, oh, God bless her, keep her, protect
yeah.
her.
Yeah.
It's, I mean, there are certain little stereotypes that come out, like, well, you know, they expect your wife to do childcare. They expect your wife to be the pianist. So
yep.
you got to make sure you marry a woman that plays piano.
Yeah. And loves children and loves children's kids. Ministry. Yeah.
But we'll get to that. Let's jump yeah. into the first lie.
Yeah. So the first one we have, and again, this is just a short list of many, but the first one we have is that the pastor's wife is not supposed to lead in the church.
Oh my goodness. That's a big one. Ooh, right there.
Okay. So let's just shatter this one. Is not true.
It's not.
But I think where it comes from is that there is a, I don't know if it's a generation or there was just a period of time mm-hmm. where the pastor was viewed as, it's kind of the professional Christian.
Yeah. Gotcha.
And so you have this person who is employed by the church
to
be the Christian for everyone else and kind of give that motivational speech each week. They're wearing their suit. They're showing up. They're looking good. And their wife mm-hmm. and their children, in effect, are part of that, to where you need to look a certain way. You need to be a certain way, kind of seen and not heard
yeah.
from at all in the church. And that, I think, has just rolled over into each generation after that, that says, no, you can be here. You can like be around your husband and you should totally like show up on Sunday morning and sit in the front row.
Yeah.
But don't you dare try to be a part of the ministry that we are doing in this church.
Well, and it also, it seems like pastors and their wives are almost like the mascot of the church. It's like, we want you to look good. We want you to speak well. We want you to be present. We want you to be attentive.
Yeah.
We want you to do all the things that we're not doing
in
this service. If the pastor's wife isn't paying attention, everyone's like, ah, she's not even paying attention. She's not honoring her husband.
Right.
But everyone else in the congregation's on their phone.
Yeah.
And so it's interesting, like you said, it's this image. Mm-hmm. We want this image of a pastor's wife to be the virtue that we want in our church.
That's good.
But we don't necessarily want to listen to her opinion or her leadership if she's been gifted to lead.
Yeah. And some of that is, I mean, we all know that sexism is and misogyny is a thing in our culture.
Massage my knee?
Yes.
Knee
massages. But so viewing women as less than, viewing women as subversive is, I think it's crippling to the ministry that we're called to have. Women Amen. Are, we are a part of this. We are co-laborers.
That's right.
In Christ. And so I think adopting the view that the pastor's wife is not supposed to lead in the church, it rolls over into how we view women in the church.
Yeah.
And so that is actually taking on a viewpoint of the world, a secular worldview, and placing that over the church. And we're not supposed to take on the ways of the world.
That's right.
And so that's just one of the things we have noticed is a lie about pastor's wives. So,
well, and I think that rolls into the second lie. So the first lie, that pastor's wife should not lead, I think part of that is because there's an expectation that pastor's wives should only serve in certain areas of ministry.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's this lie that's been pervasive throughout churches. And I think every church has a different connotation, a different mm-hmm. context.
Mm-hmm.
But the ones that I generally hear, I guess I mentioned them earlier, childcare.
Yep.
Working in the nursery, working with the kids, and playing piano.
Yeah.
Or singing on the worship team.
Yeah.
Again, I didn't say leading the worship team. Yeah. Singing on the worship team or playing piano. It's always a supportive role
mm-hmm.
That the pastor's wife is assumed to work in. What are some other areas that you've heard? Like, well, you're a pastor's wife. You should probably do this.
Hospitality is one.
Okay. Yeah.
Which, I mean, I do believe that everyone in the church, and maybe that should be kind of covering all of this, everyone in the church, as you're gifted, as you are able-bodied, should be serving in multiple areas. You should be sharing your gift to bless others in your church body. But hospitality is one. I have seen it and I have heard it from other pastors' wives that the pastor's wife should be the one putting together flower arrangements and should be decorating the sanctuary. She's the one who's supposed to be greeting everyone. She needs to be at the front of the line every Sunday.
And she better be smiling.
And
too.
She better look good and smell good, but not too good.
Yeah. But just good enough.
Just good enough.
Again, mascot. You need to represent us well.
Yes.
Don't be trying to step outside of your station.
Right.
You know what I mean?
And so the view then becomes, and the expectation even if it's never spoken, becomes that you should be in these roles doing things for my benefit as That's a right. church member, for my benefit, so that I know that my pastor's wife is doing what she's supposed to do.
Yeah.
And that is wrong. Let's just say that. It's a lie.
It's a lie
in the church. The pastor's wife, just as the pastor, is not just an employee. It's not just a person fulfilling a list of duties that you might have in your mind. And so the pastor's wife can serve certainly in any of those areas if she feels called, if that's what God has put on her heart.
Yeah.
Children's ministry, hospitality, worship. I serve on the worship team. So I'm speaking from that. But it is not in the best interest of the church to expect a pastor's wife to only serve in certain areas.
Yeah, well, and when you do that, what you're doing is you're taking the pastor's wife and you're removing her from being a part of the congregation. And I think what happens is we have this understanding that everyone in the congregation, everyone who's a part of the church has a gifting, has a calling, has some sort of spiritual blessing that God has given you so that you can minister to the body. But if you're a pastor's wife, you're excluded from that. It doesn't matter what God has gifted you in. Mm-hmm. You need to fit into these roles we need you to fit into.
Yeah.
And I think we need to, this isn't quite a lie. It's a myth that shows up in our action, not quite in what we say, but in how we treat pastors' wives is like, they're not really a member of the church.
Oh,
like we forget that the pastor's wife is a member of the church as well. You know what I mean? Even though she is married to the pastor, she's got a role of influence. And that's part of her leadership is being a key influencer in that relationship. But at the same time, most pastors' wives go to church listening to their spouse and they serve the congregation and they make relationships in the body.
Mm-hmm.
They are a part of the body.
Yeah.
And when we start separating them, it creates issues. It creates this false expectation that this pastor's wife, this woman is going to fit into the mold I want her to fit into because I need her to serve me as this image.
Well, we either build her up to a place where she's going to fall. She's going to fail my expectation. Or we press her down so much that, no, don't talk. No, you don't get to say that. You don't get to challenge.
You can't teach. You can't lead.
Right. Instead of walking alongside her, discipling her or being discipled by her, and instead of sharing in the joy or the frustration or the mourning or whatever it is she's going through, instead of that, we put her on these polar opposites.
Yeah.
And I love that you said the word influence because just from my personal walk. I view my role in co-laboring with my husband as an influencer. I view my role as supporting him. And that looks different ways depending on what projects we're working on and different things. But I know that a lot of pastors' wives may view their role as I can only do this or I can only go so far. I'm only allowed this. And I just want to speak life over you, sister.
Go ahead.
That you, through the Holy Spirit, By the power that has been given to you by the Lord, you have the ability to influence with your husband, alongside him, co-laboring with him.
That's right.
Not beneath him, but with him in this. And there's a lot of different dynamics to how that looks. And you know, whether you're a complementarian or you're a complementarian or what is it? You know it.
I'm spacing right
now. Okay,
I'm spacing out.
Whichever school you fall into, this is true for you because this is what scripture shows us is that we are helpers to our partner in this ministry. So I love that. I love that you said that word influence because it's my word. It's my hashtag word, hashtag influencer.
Well, and it's these two lies that pastors' wives are not supposed to lead and that pastors' wives should only serve in certain areas of ministry. They go together because you have to understand that each person in a congregation has a calling.
Yes.
And some pastors' wives are called to leadership. Let me just hold on. I got to tell these people something real quick. My wife can preach her tail off. She can speak. She has been gifted in the prophetic and she can lead in such a way that challenges people's expectations of who she is. And so my wife specifically has been called to lead in certain areas. But there are other areas she's not called to lead in.
Yeah.
And these are areas like each person is gifted to lead or to not lead or to serve or not serve in certain areas. And we can't generalize pastors' wives or men or women or tall people, short people, kids. Like, we can't generalize, like, you can only do these things. Mm-hmm. Because if God has gifted them and called them to a certain area, then it's our job to equip and to push them in that direction. And so, that's a lie, straight up lie.
Yeah. Sorry, I just remembered something. Do you remember when I asked you, we have a thing in our church where we vote on things each year. Mm-hmm. Do you remember when I asked you, am I allowed to vote? Like, am I a member of the church?
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know. I was like, wait a minute, am I actually allowed to do this?
Yeah.
Because I didn't know as the pastor's wife if in our tradition it was allowed. And that, again, that's just another myth or lie. That was something that I had thought, like, okay, I don't think I'm allowed to do this because of who I'm married to.
Yeah. Am I really a member or am I just egalitarian?
Egalitarian.
That's the other word. Sorry, going back. Yeah, that's what the other type.
Yeah. So it's just it every pastor's wife deals with it. And for me, that was the thing. I was like, I don't think I'm allowed to actually vote or do anything. And even teaching Sunday school, I was like, I don't think I'm supposed to do that.
Yeah.
But it's not true. It's not true.
Serve in the area you have been gifted in.
Yes. So number three,
what is it?
The pastor's wife doesn't need her husband around.
Hmm.
Oh my goodness.
Isn't that true? You don't really need me, right?
I mean, you know, married me, I'm pretty independent.
But you don't need me.
I'm right? you're girl power.
You're really just like, you married me so that you can do your own thing and never see your husband. Isn't that why we got married?
Yeah. Uh-huh. So, no. But the way that this lie kind of plays out in life is that when the pastor has to be away from home, or has to go for whatever it is, whether it's a conference, you have to be out of town, or someone needs something. Mm-hmm. There's kind of this lack of compassion for the pastor's wife. Yeah. And I've felt it at times expressing like, man, I really miss my husband, or it's just been really hard this week not having him here. There's a lack of compassion.
Yeah.
Because, well, I mean, you're the pastor's wife, so you can do it. Like, you can handle it on your own.
Yeah.
And I think it's the same lack of compassion we have for single moms who do it all the time by the grace of God.
Shout out to single moms.
Right.
And single dads.
Yes. But we use this as a way to kind of isolate the pastor's wife.
Yeah.
Like, instead of going to her when we know, like, okay, your husband's going to be out of town. And there are some folks who do this really well, who will go and kind of invade her space. But instead of using that as a way to engage with her, a lot of times we'll withdraw. Like, okay, well, she's probably doing fine. She's used to it.
Yeah.
So it's not a big deal.
Well, and speaking into that, pastors' wives, and this isn't just speaking from our own context, but what I understand from a lot of women who are married to pastors, and even men who are married to pastors, when their wives are leading the church, and they experience loneliness.
Yes.
Because it's this idea that you're a package deal, husband and wife, pastor and a spouse. You're a package deal, but it almost excludes friendship. It almost excludes any sort of vulnerability, because just like pastors are viewed to be perfect, their marriages are viewed to be without need, without necessity of each other. Like, you're both independent. Pastor's not around. If anything, Kylie Jo, you don't need anything. You actually need to step in now, and you need to be. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I'd be out of town or gone, and Kylie Jo will call me. I mean, you'll call me and be like, hey, somebody needs something and I'm not really sure how to do this, but they think I do because I'm here and you're not.
Yeah.
And instead of viewing it as like, oh, this person doesn't have their other half with them right now. Mm-hmm. It's like, but you're the pastor's wife.
So can you put in a good word? Can you do this thing for me?
Can you now serve me like your husband would because he's not here? And it takes away the personhood.
Yeah.
Of the pastor's wife.
Yeah. Yeah. And you touched on something really important that I think is almost an epidemic in ministry, which is loneliness and isolation and feeling that you are not valued as a person.
Amen.
And the mental health crisis that we see happening overall, but particularly in ministry, I think is owing to this, because when we don't, and it just goes back to compassion, when we don't look at the other person and see the suffering and want to enter into that with them, we sterilize it. Like, well, this is my life over here and I have everything good. And I don't want to get into your mess. I don't want to try to ask you how you're doing, because then you might tell me like the truth and then I'll have to face that in reality.
Or ask how I can serve you.
Because
it changes. For those of you who are in ministry or considering ministry, you have to understand in the American culture right now, there's this consumerism that people go to church to receive.
Yeah.
I go to receive, I go to get. And it's mm-hmm. not every church. Some of you are in context where your church does this really well. You do community really well.
Kudos.
Yeah, shout out. But a lot of churches do not do community well. Yeah. And what ends up happening is the person that normally takes the brunt of that loss of community is the leader.
Yeah.
It's whoever the pastor, the pastoral team. Mm-hmm. Pastors have to be really intentional. Pastors' wives have to be really intentional about seeking friendship, seeking people that will come alongside. Because yeah. as a pastor's wife, when I, you know, as a member of a congregation, if the pastor's not around and you're just left by yourself, I'm not thinking, well, maybe she needs help with her kids. Maybe she needs a meal brought to her instead of, you know, asking her to provide a meal for someone else.
Yeah.
And so it's an interesting lie because, like I said, it takes away the personhood mm-hmm. of the person in service. It turns them into this extension of what I need.
Yeah.
It turns them into a mechanism to get my reward, my blessing, my needs yeah. fulfilled.
Yeah. I will say, like, in this community, in this church that we're a part of, there have been some overwhelmingly positive and just encouraging
yes.
Instances in those times of need. For me personally, I know I have experienced the, you know, the phone call, the text,
yeah.
the just showing up, which I know is weird. Like, it is weird for people to have someone show up on your doorstep and just want to spend time with you.
Yeah.
But it's not weird. I know that we view it as that, but honestly, the times it has happened, it has been so life-giving. It is truly of the Lord because it'll happen when I'm like freaking out because my child's running around with no underwear on and I'm trying to get them dressed and it's just yeah. crazy. And someone shows up just like, hey, I just want to come by. Just want to see how you're doing.
Yeah.
And it's just a breath of fresh air. It really is the Holy Spirit just coming in and saying, I got you. I'm with you. And we get to be a part of that as the church.
That's right.
When we open ourselves up to it. So
that's good. Yeah. So this last myth that we're touching on, again, we could go on. Sorry, this last lie. I apologize. I'm working through it. It's only episode 4. Come on now. Give me a break. This last lie about pastor's wife is something that I'm sure will resonate with most women in general.
Oh, hallelujah.
But specifically the pastor's wife. Here it is.
Okay. Are you
ready? The pastor's wife thinks she's better than everybody.
Oh!
How dare she think?
Hey! Okay.
This is a ridiculous lie from the pit of hell.
Okay.
Because it's a generalization and what it's doing is it's bringing this, this image of comparison.
Yes.
And really what it's saying is the person who brings this out, they're saying more about themselves than about whoever they're
yes.
talking about.
Oh yes. Because, okay, check this out. I'll try not to butcher this.
I am checking this out.
If I think someone thinks they're better than me, mm-hmm. I think you think you're better than me. Number one, that's not true. The truth is I think you're better than me because Ooh. I don't have a high view of myself under the grace and the favor of God. I do not view myself confident. I'm sorry.
Y'all hear it. It's okay. Get on it.
I don't view myself through the grace of God. Therefore, I am seeing you as better than me, based on what I see, which is nothing.
That's right.
Compared to the reality of what you're going through.
Yeah.
But based on what I see, I think you're better than me. And I think you know you're better than me. And I think that you think, and all of that. And the whole time the devil's just running circles around me.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't have to do anything now. He doesn't have to attack me because he's just planted that seed and now I'm running with it.
That's right.
The truth is, and this is just from the pastor's wife of this church, I don't think I'm better than anybody. Mm. I think I'm exactly like everybody else.
That's
I think
right.
I struggle. I think I have sin that I need to work through every day mm-hmm. that is there to greet me as soon as I wake up. I think I have pain in my heart over the things of the world that grieve God.
Yeah.
I think I have wants and needs, and I have things that drag me down, and I have things that lift me up, just like every other human being. The pastor's
right.
wife doesn't think she's better than you.
That's right.
The pastor's wife wants to be in relationship with you. She wants to know that you know what it means to go through life.
That's right. And having somebody in that position, being in a position of exaltation, because people really do lift that position up of being mm-hmm. a pastor's wife. There's a lot of pressure in that. And there's a lot of things that, if I'm stepping on toes here, if I'm saying this wrong, you know, call me out. But there's this almost worry that the pastoral family has to deal with of like, okay, there's certain things we can't say or do. Mm-hmm. And I got to watch how I say things. I got to watch my face all the time because I don't want people to, you know, I don't want people to get the wrong impression, or I don't want to make people feel isolated, or I don't want to make people feel bad about themselves.
Yeah.
I don't want to bring any judgment on my husband.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm like, there's this elevated pressure that the pastor's wife goes through every Sunday morning,
mm-hmm.
Because we live under a microscope. Each pastoral family is under a microscope. And so, whatever the pastoral family is doing, when you look at that and you perceive that as some sort of air of snobbery, first off, check your heart, because why are you so worried about what they're doing? Like, let's get between you and Jesus there. But second off, try to understand where are they coming from? What? Okay. Every Sunday morning before we got into pastoral ministry, there was an issue getting to church every Sunday morning. Satan meets you when you try to go to church. He doesn't want you going.
Mm-hmm.
In the car ride, your kids are acting up, you run out of gas, somebody cuts you off in traffic. Like, there's always something on Sunday morning. And then you get to church and you try to get your word, you try to get your worship on. Then immediately when you leave church, more issues.
Mm-hmm.
That didn't change when we became pastors.
Yeah.
So every Sunday morning, Satan is right there.
And we live right across the street from the church.
Goodness gracious. It's a 13-second walk to work. But it's the same thing. And so when you see somebody on Sunday morning and maybe they didn't see you, or maybe they didn't wave, or maybe whatever, and the first thing you think, oh, they think they're better than me. You don't know what they just went through getting to church. You don't know what spiritual battles they're facing.
Okay. So true story.
No myth.
No, real life. No myth. One Sunday morning, I think it was like not long after Becca had been born, because I was when we moved here. So I go over, I wasn't teaching Sunday school. I think I was just part of a Sunday school class. And I realized halfway through the class that I didn't brush my teeth that morning. I realized it. I was like, I did. And nobody said anything. Nobody was acting weird, but I was like, oh my gosh, this is so awkward. I need to brush my teeth before service.
Yeah.
So I'm like planning when I can run over across the street real quick, brush my teeth. So I did that. And, as soon as I came back, I remember encountering just some weirdness.
Yeah.
It was kind of like I had insulted someone, and made them upset. And I could have, this is what I could have done that actually crossed my mind. I could have been like, what's her problem? Like, she obviously has an issue and I'm not going to say anything, because that's what we women do. I'm not going to say anything. If she wants to say something, she can say something. I'm not going to say anything.
Right.
I could have done that, and I could have gone through the whole service stewing about it,
mm-hmm.
making it about me, and just blown it out of proportion and judged my sister in Christ.
Yeah.
But instead I walked up to her and I was like, oh my gosh, you will not believe it. I totally forgot to brush my teeth this morning. So I had to run back over to the house and do it. And I'm so glad I made it back before service.
Yeah.
And she laughed, and it was like, it was almost like, oh yeah. Cause I was wondering about what was going on.
You were being snooty.
Because I didn't say hi or bye to anyone after the class was over. I just booked it because I had a mission.
Yeah.
So everyone we meet is on a mission.
Yeah.
We don't know what that mission is. And if we take whatever reaction we get from them and make it about us and make it this personal attack, we won't ever know.
And here's the thing. What other people think of you is none of your business. It's none of your business. When you're sitting there trying to decipher what other people are thinking of you, and oh, she thinks that, I think that, they think that, we think, okay, you're above your pay grade. You need to think about Jesus. Like, just focus on you and your stuff.
Yes.
And most of the time, the stuff that people do, their responses, their reaction, is about what they're going through.
Yes.
Not about you.
Yes.
It's not about you.
It's not about you.
Stop comparing yourself to other people, especially the pastor's wife.
Yeah. And this is for pastor's wives as well. Because
oh my goodness. Come
we
on
could
now.
Do a whole other episode just on speaking to the pastor's wife, because I know that pressure comes in of wanting to compare yourself to other people in the church, the older women in the church, the younger women in the church, the women who have had more children, the women who don't have children, the women who are thinner, the women who weigh more. There is always the temptation to compare.
Yeah.
And for pastor's wives, it's there just as much.
Oh yeah.
And so just know that as well, sister, when the member of the church doesn't give you the reaction you want, they don't treat you the way you think you should be treated because you're the pastor's wife.
Yeah.
Don't take it personally.
That's right.
Take it seriously so that you love them seriously.
Ooh, that's good.
Take it seriously so that you love them seriously.
Amen. That's okay. Good.
So now we're going to go into practical application. We need to preach on that.
Okay. Keep going.
We need to know how to apply some truth.
Okay.
And there's just a few things that you can do. This is stuff that you can actively start doing today.
Today.
To shatter these lies.
Mm-hmm.
One, and I know this is weird, get to know your pastor's wife as a human being, as a believer with her own testimony,
yeah,
and her own relationship with Jesus. Because here's the thing, couples are not saved unto themselves. They are not, it's not the couple didn't get saved. Each individual person in that marriage got saved.
That's right.
And so she came to know Jesus in a way that Jesus resonated with her.
That's right.
He saved her. So get to know what her story is.
Yeah, ask questions. Be genuinely curious, not trying to gather information, not trying to get ammunition.
Yes.
But genuinely curious about this sister in Christ. So yeah, get to know their story. Get to know who they are in Jesus.
Yeah.
And you know what? You don't have to necessarily mesh with everyone.
No.
But you should love and respect and have a knowledge of other people.
Yeah.
And be like, hey, instead of me just making the snap judgment, why don't we get to know each other a little bit? You know, that way I can know kind of why things are the way they are. You can get to know who I am.
Yeah.
So that's good.
And pastors' wives, let people know you.
Mm.
Let them in.
Okay. There we go.
I wish they could see what you're doing right now.
Just giving a little Holy Ghost in there. Come on.
Let them in. Because it goes both ways. It's on both sides. They can try to get to know you, but if you are withholding, and I have been there, if you're too guarded, and I'm not saying if you seem too guarded, coming from somebody who knows what that's like, but if you truly do not open yourself up to relationship, so that means you may have to be the one to send the text message.
Mm.
You may have to be the one to knock on the door. You may have to be the one to walk up on Sunday morning awkwardly.
Yeah.
How are you doing? How was your week? Doesn't matter what their response is.
That's right.
You still open yourself up so that everyone knows. Yeah, the pastor's wife. Yeah. Yeah, you can. She'll give you her number. You can call her. You can text her. You can get a hold of her.
That's right. And you know what? This goes for everybody, men, women. Relationships are dangerous and they are messy.
Ooh.
I don't mean you're going to get hurt. I mean,
in the church.
You're going to get hurt.
In the church.
In the church. I don't mean like you have to worry about your physical safety, but there is an element of opening yourself up that you have to take a risk. You have to be willing to take a risk in order to engage with somebody else and be willing to maybe fall short, maybe not get that feeling reciprocated.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's risky.
Yeah.
Just know that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sorry. What's number two?
Number two is respect her marriage.
Mm.
And you know, this is just general. You should respect marriages. Marriage should be held in honor by all.
By all.
So you're not outside that, but respect her marriage. Know try to get to know the dynamic. Okay. So if she's the extrovert and he's the introvert or vice versa, you know that and you respect that about them. You don't try to fit them into a mold. And you know what? When they need their time.
Yeah.
I'm going to change some pastor's wife's life right now. If
I'm
you're
ready.
Listening and you have a pastor's wife in your church, offer to babysit for a date night.
Date night.
It will change her life.
Yeah,
this is
stuff.
From experience. It will change her life. Offer to babysit or offer to house sit when they go out of town. Something. Just be like, you know, hey, I would love to do this for you.
Here's a gift certificate for dinner. You and your husband go out.
Here's some movie tickets.
And respecting the marriage is also saying, don't judge their marriage based on your marriage.
Well,
don't look at their marriage and say, well, I really don't like the way he does this. And I really don't like the way she does that. And I really don't. That's their marriage.
Yeah.
Pray for them.
Yeah.
Respect their marriage. Let them work their dynamic out. But don't try to put your expectations on what your ideal marriage is supposed to be and say that's what they need to do.
Yeah.
You know what? I don't like the way she runs behind her husband and she's always doing this and she's always doing. Girl, you need to stop doing this for your kids and stop worrying about that woman. You
stop it.
Respect her marriage and you be there for her. You pray for her.
Mm-hmm.
Pray for him. But you don't need to involve yourself in their marriage.
Yeah. Number three, it goes back with the lie about the pastor's wife thinking she's better than everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Understand that she is not your competition, but she is an ally.
That's
co-labor. She's not there to compete with. She's not competing with you. She is there in this fight with you because we have a real enemy.
That's right.
We have a real enemy who wants to see the church destroyed and divided and devouring itself. But that's not your pastor's wife.
No.
And it's not the church members.
No. And understanding that she's not your competition, you also have to understand that she's married to the pastor. The pastor isn't married to the church.
Oh.
And I think an issue that comes up in ministry sometimes is we as church members, we think we should be as important to our pastor as their family is.
Yeah.
And that's not the case.
Yeah.
Your pastor, your pastor has a priority that family has to come before church business.
Yeah.
Because if for some reason that church closes, that family is still going to be there.
That's right.
But if that family's gone and the church closes, then the pastor just lost.
Yeah.
And so understand that your pastor's wife is married to your pastor.
Yeah.
And they as a team serve and support the church through their ministry.
Yeah.
So no, she is not your competition.
No.
But she is an ally. That's good. That's a good word.
Yeah. That is a great word. And I just want to leave you with this. This is for everybody in the church, but for the pastor's wives listening, we heard a pastor of a church that we were a part of in Pennsylvania had said this, and I wrote it down in my notes in my Bible. Have the heart of a dove and the skin of a rhino. That's
good.
Scripture there is from Ephesians 4:32. It says, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. So over all of this, we see the word grace.
Yeah.
Or at least that's what I hear resonating in this is grace. So be willing to be offended, be willing to not understand all the time, be willing to be misunderstood under grace, because grace gives us the favor and the ability to move forward. Have the heart of a dove, tender, kind, approaching with meekness and gentleness, and the skin of a rhino. Let it roll off of you. Nothing's going to get through that.
That's right.
Be protected. Be guarded in a graceful way.
That's right.
So we hope that this has helped to address what we have found to be some of the most popular lies that we believe about pastors' wives in the church. If you have questions or comments or concerns about something you heard today, send us a message.
Or leave a comment on social media.
Yes, and please share this with everybody so that they can hear it. If you have a pastor's wife or you are a pastor's wife and this has blessed you, please share it so that more people can hear. We want to keep this conversation going.
That's right.
And in the future, maybe we can have some of your input that we can feature on an episode. We'd love to do that.
This has been the Nick Smith Podcast. We hope you have gotten a dose of real life.
No myth. Be blessed.
Thank you for listening to today's episode of the Nick Smith Podcast. We are so glad that you joined us, and we hope that you'll consider subscribing so that you can tune in each week. Don't forget to rate and share this podcast. And if you haven't already, follow us on social media. If you want to be a part of our family's mission to entertain, educate, and empower others, please consider becoming one of our Patreon supporters. Exclusive Nick Smith merchandise is available to you through our online store at www.nicksmithpodcast.com.